אתם עם SBS בעברית. לעוד סיפורים מעניינים, כנסו ל-sbs.com.au.
We are joined now by Shane Lesiatnik from the Australian Jewish News with the last edition of 2023. Shane?
It's the last edition of the year. And the front page this week starts with, in Israel's time of need, Jews around the world have found an unlikely ally. Speaking at Central Synagogue in Sydney on Friday night was actor and social media personality Nate Buzelik, known as Nate Buzz, on his Instagram account, where he has 3.4 million followers.
Wow.
He is a born-again Christian, devoted to Israel's cause and determined to shift the pro-Palestinian narrative on social media. And in the days after October 7, he emerged as a voice of clarity as he helped combat the hateful and harmful propaganda being spewed online. From the moment he arrived at the shul, he was surrounded by hundreds of members of the community as desperate to thank him for his support as they were to get a photo with him. Full of humility, he began by answering the first question on everyone's minds. How did an Australian actor who grew up in Sydney's West, right near Lakemba Mosque, come to support Israel and the Jewish people? He explained that in 2016, while living in LA and shooting the American series Vampire Diaries, he was grappling with a breakdown of a relationship and decided to fly to Iraq to do volunteer work. He said, I felt my life was worthless, and in a dusty field in Iraq, Hashem came to me and said, if you're that willing to give up your life, give it to me. What's the difference? So I went back to LA, read the entire Torah and the New Testament, and one word stood out to me, Israel.
Wow.
So shortly after that, he said, I flew to Israel in 2017, and like many of you, had a life-changing experience. And in fact, Buzelik has now been to Israel some 26 times. Most recently, of course, spending a month there after October 7, where he played a crucial role on the ground, interviewing Israeli survivors, family members, wounded soldiers, and former Prime Minister Naftali Bennett, among others.
Nice.
Rabbi Wolf bestowed on him the Righteous Among the Nations title and presented him with a menorah as a symbol to keep shining the light. Buzelik also appeared in a smaller, more intimate session the following night, where he said, in Israel, they now call me Melech, King, whenever I visit. And his girlfriend, Leah Noga, has returned to Sydney with him at the moment. He said, it was the most difficult month of my life after October 7. To have Leah supporting me every evening after I'd seen some very heavy days, I don't know what I would have gone through it without her. Now, his support of Israel and the Jewish community has come at a great cost to him, as the predictable loss of social media followers and an influx of online hate he has received. And some members of his own family won't even talk to him, and he's received death threats and has to organize his own security.
Oh, wow.
And his mother has been put into temporary hiding. But as a Christian, he said, someone outside of the community, I've been given the privilege of loving the people who the world so easily hates. And because of that hate I receive, it proves my love. And he said, of course, growing up in a Muslim culture in Lakemba, he observed misconceptions about Jewish people in Israel even before October 7. He said, I obviously experience a lot more because the moment I put something about Israel online, my direct messages are flooded, accusing me of all sorts of things. Information and propaganda can be spread quickly and efficiently to a young generation of people who don't critically think anymore. And this is a battle of biblical proportions. But it's a battle, he said, nothing will deter me from engaging in. No matter what happens, no matter the cost, I will support Israel until my last breath.
Wow, what a story, Shane. And that's Nate Buzolik doing a great job there for Israel, even though he knows he will pay the price. But as he said, he will support Israel until his last breath. You can read the full story on this week's edition of the Australian Jewish News. In similar news supporting Israel, but this time from a former Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, saying that Australia voting at the UN for a ceasefire in Gaza should be shameful, and Israel has the right to defend itself.
Yes, so our former Prime Minister Scott Morrison has described Australia's voting in favour of the UN General Assembly calling for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza as shameful. Morrison, along with his former UK counterpart Boris Johnson, addressed a UIA major donor lunch last week in Sydney following a trip they both had to Israel last month, where they toured Gaza border towns that bore the brunt of Hamas's heinous October 7 rampage, referencing the bipartisan motion that passed the Australian Parliament immediately after the attacks. Morrison recalled saying in Parliament at the time, "It is good that we pass this motion and we do so together, united as a Parliament." But he said the test of Australia's support for Israel was not on that day. The test for Australia's support of Israel would come in the weeks and the months ahead when it got hard, when those who were standing with Israel would become fewer, he said. And sadly, Australia has failed that test, ultimately. Australia should be supporting Israel as opposed to opposing Israel, as they shamefully did in the United Nations. Boris Johnson noted that while in Israel, with every step of the way, he and Morrison agreed so passionately about the meaning of what they saw and the vital importance of using their platforms to explain it to people who, I think he said, are totally misunderstanding it. He said, "Since October 7, it's as though a fog has come down in the minds of millions of otherwise sensible people. What is it about Israel that brings this moral fog into the brain? I think we all know the answer. And this emotion is anti-Semitic."
And that's former Prime Minister Scott Morrison at the UIA lunch in Sydney last week. And meanwhile, we see more rallies for Israel, both in Sydney and Melbourne.
Yeah, so there's been a rally in Sydney and a rally in Melbourne in the last week. In Sydney, recitals of heartbreaking witness testimonies of rapes by Hamas, passionate speeches by politicians and human rights lawyers, and an art installation of rows of women's clothing stained with red dye. These were all powerful elements of United with Israel's rally at Sydney's Prince Alfred Park last Sunday, called Me Too, Unless You're a Jew. Attended by about 3,000 people, the rally's main message was delivered by Hagit Ashual, who said, "We are calling on UN women and all women's organizations to finally stand up and condemn Hamas's crimes against humanity and ensure they are held accountable. If these organizations continue to selectively enforce international law," she said, "we render that meaningless." Liberal Senator Holly Hughes said, "When the Me Too movement happened, it wasn't for all women, and it is now all too clear that it's not only not for Jewish women, it's not for Israeli women." And she took aim at UN Women Australia's chair, Georgina Williams, for phoning her party colleague, Senator Sarah Henderson, and Georgie Crozier to complain about their criticism of the UN body's inaction during a similar rally in Melbourne earlier this month. She said, "Well, Georgina, don't bother calling me. You are shameful and you should be here today supporting all women." And in her address, Woollahra Council Deputy Mayor Sarah Swan, who is Jewish, urged Williams to complain instead about Hamas and its terror victimization, rape, torture and murder of innocent women. She said the forensic evidence and eyewitness testimony of these assaults is overwhelming, referring to parts of an account by Simcha Grindman that is too graphic in detail to mention. "If the events of October 7 happened to any other group of people other than Israelis and Jews," Swan lamented, "you would expect them to be speaking out loudly, early and often. But because their view of victimhood and feminism is based on intersectional Marxism, They are reluctant, these groups at best, to speak out in support of Israel. And she concluded the only way to combat this silence is with our voices.
That's in Sydney. Shane, tell us what's happening in Melbourne.
Shifting across to Melbourne, pressure from the Jewish community, doctors and political leaders has led to the Red Cross offering to meet finally with Jewish representatives. It follows a demonstration outside the organisation's office last Thursday by an ad hoc group of around 50 Jews calling on the International Committee of the Red Cross to help the hostages held by Hamas in Gaza. Co-organisers Tamar Paluch and Simone Wine told the crowd that global Jewish communities have been betrayed. They said in a statement, "How can it be that organizations and advocates call for a ceasefire without demanding the release of hostages? It is simply outrageous, and our anger runs deep, and this is why we're here." Now, a Red Cross spokesperson said in a statement they're concerned by the growing humanitarian impacts of the conflict in Israel and Gaza, and that they support for the release of the hostages, and together with the international branch of the Red Cross and the Australian mission have agreed now to meet Jewish community leaders to address the issue of getting access to the hostages. And two doctors behind a recent petition signed by more than 1,000 Australian physicians asking the Red Cross to get access to the Gaza hostages will also be invited to this upcoming meeting. So that's a positive there finish to outcome of that rally.
Thanks for the update, Shane. Now, before we finish off, one last story about how more Australian Jews are attending synagogues since the beginning of the war in Israel.
Yeah, so synagogues around the country are reporting a rise in attendance since their terror attacks in Israel, with rabbis and synagogue leaders who have spoken to the Jewish News in both Sydney and Melbourne all saying they have seen an upsurge of communal identification and personal religious practice. And there's some lovely words from Central Synagogue, Emmanuel Synagogue in Sydney, and in Melbourne we've got some lovely comments and reflections from Melbourne Hebrew Congregation and Caulfield Shul.
Okay, Shane, that's it. And one last comment about your upcoming break. The AJN is having a seasonal break for the next 2 weeks.
Yes, every year we have two editions where we end of the year, where we all take a little break. We still will have updates on our website, which is australianjewishnews.com. And our first print edition for 2024 will be January the 12th.
Shane Zyatnik from the Australian Jewish News, thank you so much for everything you did for us in 2023. I'll speak to you again in 2024.
Yeah, thanks, Amit. Toda rabba, and Happy New Year. עקבו אחרינו והפיצו אותנו דרך דף הפייסבוק שלנו.